Hello there again. Welcome to yet another episode of the Citizenry Show. And it's still Kugonza Munyaka, your lovely host. This is episode 7, and today we talk economics. I and my three guests are going to talk about the true state of Uganda's economy. And as you know, it is custom on the shore to throw numbers in your face and drum them in until you get a vivid picture of what's happening in society. This episode won't be different. So, let's get the show started by my guests introducing themselves. Let's start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Kugonza Munyaka. My name is, I'm called Mr. Kanavi Dennis. I'm a dentist by profession. And I'm in the center here, Kampala. It is where I work and it is where I stay.
Okay, guess number two.
My name is Kakendi Simon Peter. An ICT technocrat by profession. Yeah, I think that's okay for the introduction.
Okay, my other guest.
My name is Mubisana Sainya. I'm a lawyer by profession.
Okay. Now that we are acquainted with each other, let's get the show rolling. And first, Uganda has a GDP in nominal terms of US dollars 113.5 billion with a per capita of US dollars 2,752, and that's roughly Ugandan shillings 11 million. And the GDP growth is 6.5%. Are these figures reflected on the ground? And let's start with you, Mr. Basaija.
Well, certainly, yes, I would say because talking about economy, of course, you've started it very well. Avoid talking about figures, and when you're talking about figures, you're talking about percentages. And those percentages are a reflection of what the society is actually going through in terms of surveys that are done by different stakeholders. So if you're talking about the GDP right now, of course, by my figures, I think it was 1.986.
Mr. Kadavi, what's your view on that?
Those figures are not likely indicated on the ground, sir. Because when you see like the current situation that we are in on the ground, people everywhere you will go, people are crying over and being poverty.
Okay.
Yes. So I can't say these figures are likely represented on the ground. So you will see them on paper, but then on the ground it tells you something else.
Okay.
Because on the ground I would say I'm a man who is able to put fuel in my car very well. I'm a man who is able to provide for myself lunch, breakfast and supper very well. And then I have a few savings on my account. Then at least I wouldn't be worried about tomorrow. But most Ugandans of course they are worried about tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, they are worried about tomorrow. You can tell someone, you have a car, you have a house. So, if you are a good home and you're unable to work for God, can you maintain yourself in this condition? They'll tell you, no, debts are killing me. Debts are on my neck. I can't. Even to make work for even 2 or 3 days, they can't afford that. Then what does this mean? This means that Ugandans, we are hardworking people. We are just struggling to make a life.
Okay.
To live. These are people struggling to make a life, and they have devised means of getting loans in banks, getting loans from money lenders, and surviving.
Okay.
Yeah, and in my sense, I would tell you that Ugandan lifestyle is depicted as you can be an average man as being a rich man, but then they are not wealthy, they are just rich. Why? They have what to spend because their lifestyle is a high standard lifestyle that they are living, but all the money they are getting, they are spending it and nothing is going into their pockets or into their bank account.
Okay. Mr. Katende, you've heard what Mr. Baseja and Mr. Kanabi are saying. Do you agree or disagree with them?
Yes, according to my understanding, these figures do not go well with the common person.
Hmm.
People get the statistics usually, but they don't anything out of the statistics. But now to the common person, when they talk about the GDP, they won't pick the message, they won't pick the information. So when you talk about the dollars, billions, it sounds very good to someone in the to someone being educated, but when you go down, trust me, the figures don't make a single, they don't make sense at all. But to me, I'm seeing when you go to the outlook, it makes more sense. It's something good to do to celebrate as a country. The GDP is improving. Year in, year out, was from 2016. I've been following this, improving. The rapid growth is making more sense, but not to the common person.
Okay. Mr. Katende, if you are celebrating the GDP figures, the poverty levels of Uganda have increased to 21.4% as of 2017, from 19.7% in 2013, meaning that 8 million Ugandans were poor as of 2017. But do you celebrate those figures too, as we await the 2020 statistics?
The biggest problem would have been at the rate of the people gaining money, and the poverty rate is going up. But But when you look at the figures, I think there is something that is not adding up. I guess it should have been caused by, should I bring in something like money laundering? Because when they are telling figures, there are some things they keep constant. Because there are factors that lead to those figures. And those factors are not constant at some point. So I think for me, the one same thing, people are getting more poorer in some areas while the economy looks, when you consider the outlook, the economy is getting better. But when you make more research, people are finding more challenges. So I don't know if you're getting my point. Yeah. So according to me, I won't consider the figures so much because someone will get, I know if you've done mathematics, someone will get figures, they will get the average. Well, it's not tallying up when you look at the actual fact.
Okay.
Yeah, so our economy is greatly doing well, but when you look at the actual figures and the reality, there is a big gap. But I don't know if you try to take my point.
Okay, we certainly do. Mr. Vaseja, only 15 million Ugandans are in the workforce as of 2017, with majority of it, that is 75.7%, being in rural Uganda. And of that 15 million still, 64.3% are engaged in agriculture, forestry, and the fisheries industry. And majority of agriculture is subsistence. Don't you think that this is partly the reason for the increasing poverty?
In our workforce, actually 75% of the labor force of Ugandans are employed in agriculture. So now it goes back to what economy are we housing as Ugandans? I think Uganda is entirely dependent on agriculture, depending on production of foodstuffs, both for sale and actually for consumption. So if you're saying that and the majority of the Ugandans reside in the rural area, so I think actually if it is not by mistake that 75% of the people are involved in agriculture. And by the way, these days people have learned because of the introduction of the systems like operation wealth creation, formerly not, people have been taught by governments on how to improve on their farming. So people have shifted from subsistence farming and they have now gone to transforming into commercialized agriculture. I'll give you an example of now the certain people in my village where there are people that actually have a lot of jackal of land, but I find that the person in the family is having like 5 acres of land, but they're cultivating, let's say, 2 acres of maize, and they're actually saving them for something. They're selling that maize and getting money and actually improving themselves. Some of them are border, some of them are constructed at least good houses. So you see that there is some kind of modernization and shifting from subsistence farming. It's not the case that as it was because of the introduction of facilities like and was introduced. The government sometimes is giving them seeds and other improved breeds of things. So basically, it has helped them transform themselves. So I would say that we are still getting there. We're not yet there, but we are trying.
Okay, Mr. Kanavi, What's your take on that?
Also, based on the statistics, we have noted that most of the people living below the poverty line are in the rural areas. Majorly, you can talk of areas far from the center, far from Kampala. That is what we mean. And these people, if you're saying 75% of them are employed. Yeah, they are employed in industries. But guess what? Industries owned by foreigners. And these foreigners never give an adequate salary to these people. You will approach someone working in this company. Some of them are factories, some of them are food production companies, fish processing companies, and ask them what is their pay. Most of them will tell you the pay is just enough for people. Nothing much. All they get is money adequate for feeding and to run them to the next day so that they have to work again and get more food for the next day. That is the reason why these statistics have shown us that most of them in the rural areas are employed. So I say, that's where the poverty is highest. And secondly, I would say, this poverty, apart from the work, the fact that these people are underfed, there's also the fact that we are having fat bones not in the rural area. We are having poor roads there. Power sources are inadequate there. We still have the blackouts in and out, which passing there in the rural areas. We will see that access to good quality medical care is not there. And these are all the best things people need to improve their lives. So what if I get underpaid? But then if I can afford a very good medical service at a cheap price, that will help me. If I can afford good transport, cheaper transport, but good, that can help.
Okay. Let's move on. The eastern region of Uganda has the highest working population with 26.4%, but still they have the highest poverty levels, that is 42.6%. Is the system lying to the people? Because you'd think work translates into well-being. Mr. Vasaija, let me start with you.
That is the case. And now the challenge would be is that are they really, they should change on their system now, because what I know about Eastern Uganda is that they are so much involved in cultivation of sugarcane. And then sugarcane is actually not hitting market, possibly because of the cooperatives. They got away, they did out of the cooperatives. Usually they would have those cooperatives. They would take a sugarcane, they would take whatever their profits are, and they would actually get money collectively from the cooperatives. So I think maybe the government would reinstate such kind of setting so that they can have cooperatives and have bargaining power. But what is happening right now is that it is, as you say, you cultivate your product and you try to sell them. But what they are facing on the market is that they are being exploited. The factories that are consuming those sugarcane and sometimes they lack market because of other geopolitical reasons. Like for instance, even now you can't rule out the fact that COVID-19 has actually hampered the whole situation. But of course that's not an excuse, because that has not doing that, then I think we would really reap out something from their labors, their works.
Okay. Mr. Kanavi, what do you think of that?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And I would like to add on that by saying, yeah, the Eastern and Northern regions, certainly, this is where we have the poorest people. Yeah, because statistics show that most poverty areas lie in the Eastern and Northern parts of Uganda. And guess what? Now you're telling me it's where most of those people are employed in the agriculture sector, forest and fishing sector. But guess what? We have observed that a region, I do not know how it comes up. It is like a farmer saying, my kids are hungry. We are all hungry, but we are the ones, cultivating this food. How does it come about? These are people who are exhausted from working, but then everything is just taken away. Guess what? The person in Kampala here can eat a balanced diet, but the person there cannot eat a balanced diet. Why? The person in Kampala here will have at least some money on him to buy whatever he needs because it is delivered to the market. These are people. They are working, but everything is just taken and it is coming here in the center mostly, and it is going outside. The eastern is near Kenya. So because the most of the business there is cross border trade. Most of the goods are taken to Kenya, then from there they're taken also abroad to other countries.
Okay. Mr. Katende, the other parameter of measuring economic well-being are the HDI, the Human Development Index, and this ranks Uganda at 0.528, meaning our HDI is low. This HDI measures knowledge and understanding by counting the years people spend in school. The other aspect is it also measures the life expectancy of the population. And lastly, it measures the gross national income per capita, which measures if people are living within the acceptable standards of living or not. So, what do you think is causing this low HDI?
I guess when they are doing sampling, they have to see something that should be constant. Because when you look at the run, I think they do it randomly, but still they focus on some areas, and these are the areas which are occupied more scholars, because when someone is researching, at some point they look at these people, the uptown people, because they are so easy to give in information. So I feel like there is a big gap there. Because when someone goes to town and they are counting businesses, they will consider something that will work simpler. Like you are doing research about businesses. Someone will consider Nakasero more than downtown like Owino, because most of the people they feel like they don't need to give in their information. They find it very difficult. Most of the people are disgruntled because of the political side of it. So that's how we end up getting the unfair information. And most of the organizations are being better cooking. Someone gets into a room, they start, they get information, we go into the field. So that's how we end up with this unfair information I'm talking about. So I think it would have been better if if the researchers were doing their work and the people themselves that were fair to them, so if someone asks you a question, give a fair answer. Don't think about anything else. But I think that's how we end up somewhere. Me and you wouldn't feel like what we're having is fair. But on the other side, I think the economy is doing greatly good. It is an improvement because we have to move from one point to another point. So when you look at the figures, like for example from 1993, the poverty rates, we are very high as compared to what we are seeing today. So I think that's my point of view.
Okay. Lastly, what measures would you recommend to be put in place by the policymakers to boost the economy even further into middle income? Let Mr. Katende take it away.
We have to connect politics. You know, political and social issues cannot be divided away from the economy. The economy moves hands in hand with the political side of it. So how is the politics driving the economy? How do we get the economy to the level everyone would admire to see it? First of all, I talked about the issue of money laundering, and that's my major point of focus because I've followed it for some good time. I think our economy, before I talk about gathering the right information, our economy has to move on in the right way. How do people win tenders? Those are the factors that are driving the economy. How do we manage our resources, the public resources? How do people get into business? How do people leave businesses? Who has the time to research that why do business don't meet their first tax day in Kampala and the other cities? Those are the questions we have to talk about. Then after that, the researchers have to give in more time. Let us not make it monetary a little bit, because most of the researchers come into the business looking at the money. The other side of money, which is very bad. Researchers should come in with passion. Passion, what are the key points when someone is doing research? Who is receiving that data? How do they receive it? Should it be altered just to impress the person who is receiving it, or it should be as is? Someone should report the data the way it is so that the people planning for the economy can use that data the same way it is. However disgusting it might be, it should be unaltered. I think that can be very helpful for our economy.
Okay. Mr. Kanavi, what's your take on that?
Let some good folks make the necessary money in to educate their kids. We are having a system for food for cattle and food for agriculture as well. Make these people, make good roads for these people. They can transport their goods. They can do international trade with our neighboring countries. We are having children, we can trade with them. We are having a North South Sudan. These people can trade with them. And income comes in. When income comes in, of course, these people get to improve their lifestyle. And guess what? At least they can be headed to what the president promised, just that in 5% there will be little income, but we will see it. Because measures have been put in place. If these measures are put in place, then at least maybe we will be approaching the middle income still in 2030.
Okay. Mr. Waseja, what do you think needs to be done by the government?
The government is actually trying. Some of the things that are supposed to be done are already place. Much of them, some of them are actually at the street, are trying to implement microfinance. I've told you that the government should reinstate cooperatives for certain societies, like now the Eastern Society. Those ones need that. But of course, if you read about, if you see the NRM pillars, one of its pillars is socio-economic transformation. Now, how do you socio-economically transform the society? You need some things to do, like regional integration. We have seen the president and, of course, the government advocating for East African integration. Now, when we integrate, we get more markets, we get more skilled labor, we get more resources, those resources that we don't have around. So, but the most important thing is that we get markets and we don't pay a lot of tariffs the way it is right now. You saw what happened when COVID-19 happened, and then other countries had to close off their borders, like Rwanda and Kenya, and people were suffering. They are Ugandans that were exporting pineapples to Kenya, and then they had to rot on the border. So if there was regional integration, such a scenario would not happen. Then they have improved their infrastructure. The infrastructure is also so well, it's so connected. If we can actually put statistics here, you can actually see that we have 21,000 kilometers of national roads. We have 17,000 district roads. We have 2,800 kilometers worth of urban roads and 30 kilometers of community roads. So if we have that connection, that would enable trade to actually interlink with each other, we can have an improvement. So some of the things are in place. You have recently seen the president is opening up new market structures. System, the atmosphere around is okay. We don't have insecurity. So basically, I would say we are trying to really get there. Government has done something. We make much as we need improvement, like the one I've talked about, reinstating cooperatives and making sure that we implore the stakeholders to adhere to the systems and the rules, then we can really take off.
Okay. Thank you, my guest, for taking time to talk to the Citizenry Show, and I look forward to having you in studio rather than on call. Yes, Mr. Kanavi.
My pleasure.
Okay. Mr. Katende.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Mr. Waseiza.
Well, as a way of conclusion, I would say that the economy of the country is actually moving steadily and growing steadily. And if we keep up whatever the government is actually implementing or has come up with, we're going to transform into a middle economy state. Because as I've already noted, there are systems in place that are supporting every individual who actually is involved in any economic generating activity. And being the fact that Uganda is an agrarian economy and most of our people are engaged in agriculture, there are systems in place, government is supporting, they are providing grants, MEOGA, and what have you. So I really think we are going to transform, and really the government has done some good job, commendable work. Much as we have to improve in sensitization, we have to improve in the effectiveness, in terms of service delivery, in the programs that are rolled out to support these people in different sectors. But the overall picture is that we are progressing. Thank you.
Okay. Those were our guests for today's episode. And you too can be part of the show by sending a voice message. I remain your host, Kugonza Munyaka, and thank you for listening in. Adios.